from the inkwells of yore, to the digital screens of today, the kids present the comic book character of the month.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Thanks, Dungeon Master, and welcome back, kids, and thanks for listening to our Dungeons and Dragons 50th anniversary celebration and our reading of The Forgotten Realms. And here to review three individual issues within this series, issues 9, 10, and 14, is Doc. Doc, how are you?
I'm awesome, Angus. How are you doing today?
Doc, I am doing fantastic. And, you know, when looking at this wonderful group of four volumes put together by IDW that were placed in trade paperback form for graphic novel purposes, you know, if I've got one criticism of these collections, I would have loved to have seen some forwards in there, some reflections by the artists themselves, by Jeff Grubb, by Rags Morales, maybe some of the, you know, employees from TSR, maybe something from Ed Greenwood, the creator of The Forgotten Realms. Just, you know, normally in collections like this, you see some sort of nostalgic callback, a prologue, even an afterword, some appendices with some, you know, artwork in its infancy stage, just something a little bit more. So that would be about my only criticism that I would have. But because, frankly, these stories are fantastic. These arcs have been great. Mm-hmm. But in today's episode, we're going to hone in on three individual stories. And they're all background stories to primary characters here within the series. In issue number 9, we have Minder's story. In issue number 10, we have a story called Head Cheese, which chronicles Foxleon's addiction to cheese. And then we have Undead Love, which is issue number 14. And that gives us some background on Jasmine. So this is pretty cool. I really enjoy the fact that we've got these individual stories that are providing some further context to immerse us as readers into this series. What say you?
Yeah, I agree. These are, after reading, you know, we just kind of went from story arc to story arc, and now it's kind of like you get a little bit of breather, get to learn a little bit more about these characters, which is really welcome. Like, and I think in the beginning of this one, we have, we see Omen when he wakes up and how much pain he's in. And so that's the first time that I remember seeing anything like that. And that becomes an issue, and it becomes like a big story point too, a little bit in a future arc. So I like that, you know, what they're doing is just kind of like diving a little bit deeper into these characters, and it's a really great idea too, kind of break apart some of these arcs.
Yeah, and for sequence purposes, Minder's story, which is introduced as Minder's Story, The Day After, and then its subtitle is The Morning After. And Head Cheese actually come right after our first two story arcs, which were in Volume 1. So these two open up Volume 2 before we get into Triangles. And I chose to break this up and give us three story arcs in a row. So these three individual stories, which also that last one includes Jasmine, would give us a little more background context after we've gone on three different adventures here with our party. So let's delve into Minder's Story, The Day After, The Morning After. And this chronicles Minder's story and how she got into the Golem body. This was a really fascinating story, Doc, because when we were first introduced to this character, I have to admit, I'm going, I don't know where this one's going with respect to this character, frankly. I mean, we've got an iron golem on a wooden ship who in a previous life had been a female dwarf. I mean, okay, this is a bit much. Looks kind of interesting. The hairstyle on the golem is kind of interesting. It's, it was, if there was any character initially, when reading The Hand of Vaprik and getting into Dragon Reach and then into Triangles, that I was going is a little bit of a head scratcher. For me, it was Minder, I have to say. The other ones I could relate to, but just this big, beefy character, Doc, is kind of reminiscent of a Hulk, okay? Honestly, yeah. You know, Minder Smash. not quite like that, but, you know, as we saw in The Hand of Vaprik, we Minder was very much the heavy. Well, look, there's nothing that, an iron golem couldn't smash through and, you know, get through a door and do all that sort of thing. I'm like, okay, where's the depth to this character? Well, the depth to this character is right here in Minder's story, the day after, the morning after. And I really like the fact that Jeff Grubb chose to give us some background to tell her story and to dive a little deeper into the relationship that she has with one Captain Dwalemore Omen and how really close that relationship is based on what Dwalemore chose to do to preserve the mind and soul here of Minder.
Yeah, I agree. That's where I think the strength is. We get a deeper relation because really, I mean, Iron Golem could have been switched out with like a barbarian or something, for the group dynamic. So it is an interesting, why did they choose an Iron Golem? And then I don't know if, he had this plan, this background when he started out to write it, but it adds a really good, rich background because like you said, it's like, we see a little bit more of that relationship. Why Omen is so dedicated to her and, and keeps her, not just keeps her around, but you can see there's a deeper relationship there. They have a history together. And so it's exposed finally of, what exactly happened in the past that, like you said, this female dwarf is in this huge iron golem kind of body. And I think it was really well done too, how they unveiled it little by little with the storyline.
Yeah, I agree, Doc. And it was quite interesting, too, that the majority of this tale takes place on the ship and is at sea. And we have flashbacks happening here that actually provide us with the reveal of what happens and how one Minder came to be. And even the picture of Dwalemore with actually darker hair in a younger time. Long ago, there were these three companions, a wizard, that's Omen, a beautiful human fighter, and a dwarf. This was way back when Omen was younger and more self-centered. The three set out on a quest for a great and powerful artifact, the Astrolabe of Nimbral. And, we get into that whole background, and it's through that we get the reveal. And what exactly took place there. And it's through that flashback within this story, that it basically is a sea tale of the, Realms Master at sea being attacked by a huge, huge Leviathan kind of creature, large creature. And it's pretty cool. The artwork in it is great. It's you've got all of our adventuring party in great peril. It's a twofer, Doc. It really is. It gives us the background on Minder while also giving us another good one shot of what takes place on the Realms Master when they are navigating from one port to another.
Yeah, I think that's what I liked about the story too. It's not just a bunch of flashbacks where they're just sitting around and nothing's really happening, but you're telling your story. There's a ton of action in it. Like you said, this big creature, this sea creature that attacks them. And we get a really rich background on the character, but we're also seeing a lot of like real time action that's going on, you know, in the current day as well. So that's it definitely. I think I read through this issue without even realizing I was turning the pages, cause I was just really engrossed in this story. It was so good.
Yeah, I really like the kind of like slice of life perspective of this particular story, how you have Jeff utilizing this sea transit and the dangerous nature of it all. Yeah. So, Doc, our second story was Head Cheese, and that's issue number 10. And this chronicles Foxleon's addiction to cheese and how he met Dwalemore Omen. So, again, another story that explains that relationship to our captain, Dwalemore Omen. And this one is really a dominant flashback story and very well done, I must say. And I think, I'm looking at page 10 in particular, Rags Morales does this amazing splash page of this dark figure in robes and all of these, it almost looks like cards that Foxleon's falling into. It's amazing. It is some really inspired artwork. And this seemed to me to be one of those issues that Jeff said to Rags, "Hey, Rags, go do your thing, man." and I think Rags really made the most of it. I mean, there are some, you know, two-pager illustrations in this thing that are exquisite. There's the meta play at one point with the book opened. And you have Foxleon hopping in and out of the pages. I mean, this is just amazing stuff here. The extra dimensional nature of it all, too. It's got some cool horror elements to it. It's really, really cool. The art in this one takes center stage, other than the last page of the story, which is a lot of exposition and conversation back and forth. But up until that point, oh my gosh, this is a showcase for Rags to be extremely inventive with his panel work, or in some cases, Doc, lack of panel work.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely plays around a lot with the panels, so to speak. And I think this issue probably has more splash pages than any other issue in Forbidden Realms. I think the whole series so far that I've read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Forgotten Realms. And it's fantastic. And it is, it does feel like it was Rags just like go nuts. And he didn't, I mean, when I say nuts, I mean, he went nuts in a great way. I think that trippy kind of feel really matches the story of, you know, him going through this addiction to this. It's basically like a fermented cheese, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the artwork really reflects that kind of trippy kind of feel to it. And it also is, I mean, it's a very mature issue too, because it really does deal with the issue of addiction and how all consuming it can be and how people's lives get ruined over it and thing. It's a lot going on this on so many different levels, and it just all comes together. It's a really great issue.
It is. It indeed is, Doc. A really, really entertaining read. And I feel that it's yet another piece of rich background for us to understand the social dynamics between Captain Dwalemore Omen and Foxleon's. It's really, really good stuff. All right. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree with that, because it's not like, you know, because it can be, you know, you kind of think from a dynamic that, you know, Omen, he's the boss and everyone, you know, he just gathered these people together. but we're showing from these like individual issues that there's relationships with all these characters. He didn't just choose these people randomly or run into them in a bar or a tavern somewhere, but he has long relationships with a lot of these people, and he's as dedicated to them as they are to him, and things like that. So it's a really cool dynamic with these little issues, what they're doing with the characters.
Yeah, it definitely is. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. So after concentrating on Fuxalon here, we then move on to Jasmine and her story here in Undead Love, which it's Forgotten Realms issue number 14. On the cover, it says Liches in Love, but the actual story is entitled Undead Love. And wow, Doc, you talk about bringing the horror elements into this thing. It is saturated with it.
And, it got dark real fast.
Yeah, it did. And Rags did an incredible job here. It is dark and it's cold to start this whole thing. And if I'm not mistaken, this one would end up being continued in one of our next titles to review from TSR World's Annual. A little section in here. There's a nice little lead in to it. But, you know, this particular issue is, like you said, really, really dark. I like it a lot. It gives us some really cool insights into Jasmine. Mm-hmm. And also, still, having our crew of the Realms Master here in full force as they are doing battle with some locals, but at the same time not truly understanding the full nature of what they're going up against. There's always this uneasiness from panel to panel as to, oh my gosh, what have our adventurers gotten themselves into? And I think that's exquisitely conveyed by Rags Morales here. I think Jeff Grubb does a good job of tempering the dialogue bubbles and letting Rags's visual storytelling take the stage. And Rags delivers again. Everything from these cool-looking skulls that appear throughout this band of undead that you see, the skull popping off and moving about. It's a cool blending of the undead with this sense of dread for all the living who don't know, okay, are we battling something that's undead here? Or is this some sort of, you know, frenetic or berserker people? What gives? So again, really highly effective job by Rags keeping us off balance from panel to panel, and I'm sure we'll get a good payoff here once we delve into the TSR World's Annual number one.
Yeah, this issue really stands out as I think I said this earlier. It feels like we almost have a different writer, and that's again not a criticism. That's going to
Jeff Grubb's
strengths. Yeah, to his strengths as a writer and an author, because it just gets so dark and it's such a horror story. This could have easily been in like a Tales from the Crypt comic book or something with who is it? The Lord. What's his name? Lord. I had it written down. Verantin, and just a hideous looking being, and how when he goes into I'm not going to give anything away, but when he goes into the room where all of his ex-wives are, I mean, it's horrifying. it was so unexpected, and it's such like a little slap, but it's like, all right, we're on a different storyline or a different level here of storytelling, and he just goes right for the juggler as far as the horror elements go. And I know I'm not going to pronounce this one right, but the Demi Leech. The thing is creepy as all, but kind of almost in a it's almost like a comical sense too. He has some funny lines in it, even though he's a horrifying being. He also has some, like, he's almost a little comic relief in some parts because some of it gets really intense towards the end. But I really love this story because it's, again, and then we get the added benefit of, besides this great framework, again, like you mentioned, we get this great story of a little bit more detail about Jasmine and how she fits into this and a little bit more of her background. So this one just, they both, again, these two just work so well together and they just knocked this one out of the park for sure.
Yeah. And Doc, you know, that Demi Leech is not a lesser Leech, but one that evolved beyond the need for its undead body. And hence those floating skull throughout this whole book. It's really, really well done. And, you know, that's the other thing too. We are again stocked up with Creatures from the Monster Manual play happening here from the panel to panel to panel, as far as the combat and the mechanics of the combat here of the Forgotten Realms, and more importantly, Dungeons and Dragons. And it's really cool to see, from a player perspective, the authenticity and the care, like I said before, that Grubb did with this. And Doc, I echo your exact same compliment of Grubb. He is amazing at changing his storytelling style and going even within fantasy into different genres. He nails horror right here. Just does a phenomenal job. So I am also a bit in awe of the nimble nature with which one Jeff Grubb can morph himself into telling a very effective story. And again, well done. Yeah. Well done.
Not much to say more than well done. I mean, it really is. It's these three issues, you would think that these 3, 9, 10, and 14 are just kind of like throwaway issues, but they're not. They are far from it. I think they're really important to the overall whole series. And I, like I said, I think I'm on issue 21 or 22 of 25 of them. And these really add so much like texture and detail to each of the characters. They're really great issues, and I'm glad that they I'm glad you put them all together, because I think they reading them like in one little block they take on such more meaning because of, you know, what they do for the background of these characters.
Your dungeon master has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of the enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.